Cheerscast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Hey, isn't that that French guy that's trying to steal Woody's girlfriend?
Ah, yeah, what a slime bag.
Yeah, the man's got the morals of a snake.
Can't believe he showed his face in here.
Hello, fellas.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me once again is good friend of the show and returning guest, the host of Resurrections, an Adam Warlock and Thanos podcast. Please welcome back, Al Sedano. What's up, man?
Not much. I'm going to steal your girlfriend.
Listeners, I hope by that you can tell that we are getting Henri back in this episode. When I looked it up, I was shocked to see that this is only his second appearance, but even more shocked to see. He's only in 5 episodes.
Wow.
Just spread across the last 3 seasons. And to me, he looms so large.
Yeah, and I thought he was in more of earlier in, too. As I'm watching the show, Henri isn't here. She hasn't gone to Paris yet? Wait, what's going on?
Yeah, it took forever. And now, that we got him, by the end of this, we're 40% into the life of Henri. But I think part of it is when we see him, and listeners, we're getting ahead of myself, but when we see him, they make a big deal as if he is a recurring character who's always trying to steal Woody's girlfriend. So the way they talk about him is he's been there for a while. So maybe that just kind of plans some sort of Inception mind game thing where I'm like, oh yeah, he's a major character and everything.
It's also probably from us initially watching this, because I wasn't watching the first half of the show live, but the second, the last couple seasons, from at least the 200th episode on, I was watching it live. And that's more spread out. You don't have all these episodes weekly.
Right.
There's, months. Sometimes there's a month or two in between, plus the in between the seasons is 3 to 5 months in between. Mm-hmm. It's over a couple of years. You're used to seeing him. It's he's been on for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And over 30 years later, you kind of change that in your head to be years means several years, not 3.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is, folks, this is a big one because, as I've mentioned for a couple of episodes, midway through this season, we said our final goodbye to Robin Colcord, but we get the introduction of 2 other antagonists in John Allen Hill and Henri. And this episode, we get both of them, which is fantastic.
So, I was watching going, oh my God, we have both of these guys? This is great. Both of them.
Yes. Plus another cameo appearance who is not credited, but we will get to her later on. Yeah, this is season 9, episode 20 already. It's A Wonderful Wife. This one written by Sue Herring, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, February 28th, 1991. When Norm's wife, Vera, loses her job, Norm is desperate for work. For her, I mean. Rebecca helps out by finding Vera a great job, but it might be too close to home, as Vera becomes the hat check girl at Melville's, the restaurant right upstairs. Meanwhile, the guys decide to throw Frasier his first ever birthday party, so long as he's willing to get the food and the decorations, which need to be repurchased over and over again as the balloons keep floating away. Lilith enlists Henri, the French photographer who is always trying to steal Woody's girlfriend, to take a formal portrait for her, as well as some racy private photos for Frasier's birthday. Feeling oppressed by his wife's proximity, Norm decides he cannot stay at Cheers so long as Vera works upstairs. On his way out, though, he learns that John Allen Hill fired Vera. Norm confronts John, forcing him to apologize when he insults Vera. Norm then has to admit in front of the bar how much he loves his wife. Enough to fight for her, that is, but not to comfort her when she's sad. He waits for her to leave so that he can return to his rightful place at Cheers.
I enjoyed this. We got John Allen Hill. We got Henri. Lilith had a lot to do this episode, which is always a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And Norm really got to do some acting, not just sitting there making sarcastic remarks, which he's good at. But he got to play different than he normally does. This is a paranoid, freaked out Norm. Who is this possibly the episode or one of the episode where he has the least amount of beers? Does he even have any?
You know what? Surprisingly, yeah. Even though at the end of the episode, he says he didn't have any. I'm like, that's not what my data shows. But yeah, he did have a couple. I'll get to that at the end. But yeah.
So yeah, no, this is a fun one to watch. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of going on here.
There's so almost like sort of like so much going on. Like everybody has like a little kind of thing to do. Like it's a little bit of jumbled. Like even when I was writing the synopsis, I'm like, how much weight am I giving to any of these like particular things? Because it's kind of discordant, but they're all really funny. They all feel kind of like they all have a little bit of meat to them, and that adds up to something. But in terms of like when I get to the to who my MVP is, like it's like, okay, it's a Norm-centric episode, but John is really good. Henri is really good. Lilith is really good. Mm-hmm. Frasier, like this was a hard one to settle, and I'm not convinced I won't change my mind by the end of our discussion.
Oh, I'm still going back and forth because Norm still did a lot of stuff too that was impressive for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right from the beginning, though, there's one of my favorite teasers too. This is one that always kind of stuck with me. Woody comes back from the store. He didn't get pretzels or beer nuts like he was apparently sent out to get. But he got Choco Puff cereal, but like the individual, like the little personal boxes that you can get, just like travel boxes of cereal or something. Sometimes like I associate those with camping or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, or like a road trip or something. So they're all like, yeah, the cereal. And like Cliff like looks up the ingredients. It's just two ingredients, 90% sugar and 10% animal fat.
God bless America.
Yeah, exactly. And then they're like opening their boxes, and Cliff, like, you know, he prefers to eat his right from the box and just kind of like just starts shaking it into his mouth and everything. Come back to that because that's relevant in a second.
Yep.
But the guys all start talking about like when they were kid, these things. I like it because there's a bit of nostalgia that goes along with this, but it's kind of timeless because they're talking about how these things used to come with prizes when they were their kid. And I was like, yeah, every kid has cereal, like went through that phase looking for the prizes.
And Woody said, cereals that having those individual ones, that's new.
That's more
like mixing Cracker Jacks with cereal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. Actually, now that I think about it, because of the way that Cliff is eating it, like, I wonder if this wasn't supposed to be a Cracker Jacks gag and maybe they couldn't get the rights or something.
To like say Cracker Jacks. So
that I didn't even think about it, but you're right. That would make a lot, because that's how I associate eating Cracker Jacks too.
You get the prize out first.
Yeah.
Relevant in a minute. And then you just tip it into your mouth and just, you know, chuck it.
Okay. Now I'm convinced this was originally supposed to be a Cracker Jacks gag and they just couldn't get the rights or something like that, a license though. Okay. But regardless, Woody talks about how he got this tattoo book, like the, what do you call it? Lick and stick tattoo book or something in the box. He's like, but I never wore them. And Norm was like, oh yeah, you felt pretty silly about that. He's like, no, I'm just waiting for the right occasion.
It's a special event.
Yeah, it's a special. So they go through the prizes. Norm got a plastic ring. Sam got this BB game. And Woody's like, great, another tattoo book. You just see kind of in the background, Cliff is kind of like rubbing his throat. He's clearly in some sort of distress. And Norm grabs his box and goes, oh, Cliff got, you know, didn't get anything. You know, he got like whatever, like ripped off or something. And Cliff coughs. And when he coughs, you just hear this wing. Like this whistle sound, and it's the Foley guy, the sound effects guy, just did a masterful job with this little bit because
the timing, perfect.
The cough whistle, kind of like the way that you're like synced up together, just a little bit discordant, but it's perfect because you just keep coughing in the whistle. They're like, Mr. Clavin got the whistle.
Woody's all jealous.
I know. And again, like being at a formative age when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, that's why you always find the prize before you eat the cereal or the
cereal. Your prize.
Yeah.
And then this is one of the ones where they actually, the teaser is directly before the rest of the episode because it continues on with them talking, you know, asking Cliff in the beginning how his throat is because of him swallowing it.
Yeah, right. After Christ, like an amount of time has passed, but not that much because it's still clearly the same day. It's a little bit later. And Norman or Cliff is just kind of still rubbing it and his voice sounds a little hoarse. And Sam's like, how's your throat? He's like, yeah, it's still sore. And Carla's like, well, you should do something that they always do in my family. Or she says something like, you know, my family has a little thing that we always do. And she just like pinches the back of Cliff's neck, just like the skin or something, just twists, and he like screams in pain. And Sam's like, you do that for sore throats? Carla's like, no.
Just walks off.
Yeah. This episode has a bunch of little non sequiturs like that, like a couple times where things like that happen.
Oh yeah, we get like a couple of looks into Woody and Carla's past too. Well, yeah, Carla's past because it was with her the now deceased husband, but you know, personal life.
John Allen Hill comes down the stairs. Sam, Sam comes back.
What?
He does that. I love that joke, that running joke of how long he drags out the syllable. John says that he can't find his hat check girl at Melville's. And of course, why is he asking Sam about that? Sam gets really offended. He's like, every time there's a problem at your restaurant, you have to come down and assume that it's my fault. Like he's responsible for John's employees. Cut to the office door opens and a girl credited as Miss Kenderson. That's what they call it. She is played by the actress Heather Lee. Like 24 TV appearances, small parts, but in decent projects. She was involved in decent shows, but nothing really big. But yeah, Miss Kenderson comes out of the office going, Sam, I can't get the sofa bed to fold back up. John reveals that for the 3 weeks that she's worked there, she hasn't done anything of substance. And he's like, as luck would have it, today somebody came in, a customer came in with a hat, and she wasn't there.
Well, she was on a break.
It wasn't your break time.
And Sam says, yes, it was mine.
John fires her. Right after that, Frasier walks in and Woody wishes Frasier a happy birthday. Interesting because at the time the last episode was recorded, it was Kelsey Grammer's birthday. So his birthday kind of syncs up close to when Frasier's is in the show. And I believe in the show Frasier, the continuity is like around the same time. Like he's got like a March birthday.
I was looking that up. It said like, I believe it said they have his birthday like early in March, in the March episodes, but like this was coming out like near the end of February. So it's close enough.
Yeah,
this was
the last day of February. Yeah. So, yeah.
So it's close enough. Right. And it's like, I think Frasier, like it said that he's like 2 or 3 years from what I saw, like 2 or 3 years older than Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer, like I made a deal about that, about like how young these guys were, and it's like hard to reconcile that. But Frasier's like, Woody, how did you know it was my birthday? And Woody's like, well, you left your wallet here last night, and I had to look through it to find out who it was. He's like, Dr. Crane, are you really an organ donor? Are you going to donate all your organs after you? And then he's like, you know, they take them before you die, you know? And Frasier just kind of looks at him like, what? And he's like, my uncle was just in the little fender bender. They chased him for half a block.
Yes. So another Woody uncle, though. This one lives.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming. I mean, he didn't say they caught him.
Right. Yeah. Who knows how that story ended? But
we can guess he might have lived. So, hey, good for this uncle. This is one of Woody's uncles that survived.
Right. Presumably maimed, but we don't know the details. Yeah. And Frasier's like, thank you for sharing that. Woody, have my special day. Horrified. Yeah. Frasier kind of mentions how the fact that, you know, for him, birthdays celebrations aren't a big deal. His mother always kind of downplayed birthdays, so he never had a party growing up. And Sam and the others agree to throw Frasier a birthday party and are going to order from Pizza, 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 Pizza. And Woody's like, what do they serve there? And Carl's like, pizza, you idiot, or you dweeb or something like that. He's like, don't bite my head off. I've never been there before.
And I saw somewhere on something reading, apparently there's in Frasier, they had a place called, mentioned a few times, called Pizza, Pizza, Pizza.
I think, and I think I read this too, like it's probably something to do with Domino's or what was it? Little Caesars.
Little Caesars. They had the mascot that goes pizza, pizza.
I remember that commercial very well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So do I. I never had their pizza, but I still will say pizza, pizza.
I don't think I ever did either. Anyway, so they're like, you know, for the party, you know, they need somebody to take care of the decorations and the food for the birthday party. And Carl's like, I nominate Frasier. And everybody's like, second. And he's like, oh, and Frasier thinks this is just, you know, a great thing that they're actually going to, you know, splurge for a birthday party to celebrate for him, and not even thinking about the fact that they're making him do all the work for it.
Yeah. But, yeah. We'll have a party for you as long as you do all the stuff for it and probably pay for it.
Right. Right. Norm comes in looking a little bit down, even for Norm. Woody's like, what's going on, Mr. Peterson? He says, another layer for the winter. Norm tells them that Vera lost her job. Clive has this great little bit. She should have gotten the security, or nobody, like, she would have been better if she'd gotten the security of a government job. You know, Cliff could spit on the mail and chuck it down the sewer and they couldn't fire him. It's like, how do you know that, Mr. Claven? I don't.
And I'm annoyed at myself because I forgot until just before we were recording when it was too late to call my brother, who does work for the post office, to see if that's true.
we'll do a follow-up for that one. Norm is like, yeah, but like with Vera losing her job, they don't have any money coming in. And if something doesn't change, he's going to have to find a job. And they're like, you're going to work? He's like, no, I mean, for Vera.
That Carla said that. And when Norm is like, no, like the look that Carla normally has for people when they see something stupid, like for Vera. And Carla just takes it because Carla realizes, yes, I said something massively stupid. This is earned. There is no intention of retaliation from Carla whatsoever because she's like, that was earned.
Right. Yeah. She's like, of course, assuming Norm would get a job, it would get work. Like, yeah, well, that was kind of a dumb thought of mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong with me?
So when Rebecca comes in after however many minutes we are into the episode, Norm's like, hey, Rebecca, I've been looking all over for you. She's like, where have you you've been sitting at the stool all day? He's like, this is where I look from.
This is where he does everything from. Yeah. What are you talking about?
So he mentions that Vera lost her job at the travel agency. We get that bit of info. And he needs Rebecca's help. So she's like, okay, you want me to use my corporate connections to get her a new job? Norm's like, no, that's not what I was thinking. She's like, well, you want me to help her punch up her resume? No, that's not what I had in mind. She's like, what do you want? He's like, well, Vera ripped off all of these frequent flyer coupons when she left. Can Norm trade them for free beers?
And she just walks off in this disgust. And he's like holding these things like, no, seriously.
A little bit later, Frasier comes back into the bar, but kind of like standing at the threshold as he is clearly holding a whole bunch of balloons in his hand. Carla's like, hey, they look great. And Carla goes to extend her hand to shake his. Frasier does so. And of course, in doing so, he lets go of the balloons and they float away. And he just sits there realizing how dumb he was. And he's like, I will be right back. And he has to go either fetch those or get new balloons. And Carla, of course, having done that completely intentionally, just smiles as she walks on.
She loves birthdays.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love every time this thing happens with him. Or like this, Sam just has this look of like, of course.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, look, unless someone's actually hurting somebody or doing something too wrong, I'm not getting involved.
Right.
This is what it is.
Yeah, you're adults, you're professionals. Yeah. And then, Henri comes back in again. And only the second time, but again, like he loops the large in. And I think it's this moment because Henri comes back in and there's a reaction from the guys at the bar, Norm, Cliff, and then like the tertiary guys, Tony and Pete. They're all kind of like, hey, is that slimy Frenchman who's always trying to steal Woody's girlfriend? And one of the guys, Tony, is like, yeah, he's got the morals of a snake. And they're like, oh, I can't believe he'd show his face here. And you just get Henri, big smile. Hello, fellas. And they all just like, hey, Henri.
Hi, Henri.
How you doing? They're all smiling back at him and just like excited, like somebody recognizes them. Like they're just happy to be involved. Like he would take the time to notice them.
Yeah. I love Henri. He's like, we're Sam. He's Sam without the morals that Sam has. Sam, you know, Henri right. has no problem going for married women, women who are involved. He does not care.
Right. But I love that they're so, it's equal parts. They're non-confrontational. Like they're not going to fight him. Like if he's nice to them, they'll be nice too. But also I think they just like, it's almost kind of like a meta thing. Like when a guest star or a recurring person who's kind of in a different class than them deigns to look down at them, they get kind of like a big deal. Like this sort of, this thing happened with Robin at one point, I think too. Yeah. But anyway, for whatever reason, because I watched the show growing up, like with my parents, and I remember my dad always remembered this. Like whenever like the show was on reruns or on syndication, this was always like a scene that really my dad loved more than anything. That like Henri came in, they were all like bad talking to him, like how terrible this guy is, and he's just, hello, fellas, and they're like, hey, Henri, yeah, and he smiles. So I think maybe just because of that setup, that helped lodge in my mind that he was this big recurring character with this reputation that was well established, and the guys just had no spine about sticking to their dislike for him. So maybe just because of that, I always kind of remember him as being having a bigger footprint in the show.
Yeah, because I always remember him being more of the show, and he's only in some episodes.
Right.
I think you said like 5.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. One more this really? Season and one more this season, and I think one in 10 and one in season 11. Yeah.
Wow.
They're good though. I mean, they get good mileage out of him, we'll say. So Henri is there to take Woody's picture, but he's like, let's get on with this. I've got other things to do or something. And Woody's like, oh yeah, yeah, you're going to steal my girlfriend. And he's like, oh no, no, I could never do that. Kelly loves you. She says so all the time. In fact, this morning she talked about Woody so much, Henri almost had to kick her out of the shower. And he's like, are you joking? Like, of course I'm joking. And then, you know, Woody mentioned that he shaved. He's like, how's it look? He's like, oh yes, it's as smooth as Kelly's bottom. He's, well, is that a joke? He's like, of course, you'd have to shave much closer than that.
Closer.
And then he walks up, he's like, Woody, get me a soda and pay for it. That's another thing. Just like he does it a lot. And Lilith is I forgot. Lilith is there. Just happens to be sitting at the bar, like waiting for Frasier, ostensibly.
Probably.
But she's like, Woody, why do you put up with this guy? You don't like him. He's always harassing you. He was trying to steal your girlfriend. There's no respect or love lost between you. He's like, why are you paying him to take your picture for whatever reason? And Woody's like, well, he's going to borrow the money anyway. At least this way I don't have to worry about him paying me back. And Lilith just kind of nods. All right, it's a good thing you worked that out for yourself, Woody.
There's a logic there somewhere. That's the important thing.
Yeah. This is another one of those lines. This is his first formal picture he's had taken since his high school yearbook. He's like, man, I hated that picture. The darn cowlick. And Sam was like, your hair stood up? Like, nah.
And Sam just has a look of like, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah, it's like, all right, another Hanover story, whatever's going on.
Like, was the cow there for the picture taking? Who knows?
Whatever it was, presumably that's what the picture captured, like right in time. Lilith, again, I like, asks Sam's advice, like, would Frasier like a picture of her for her birthday? And Sam has to kind of cover up his shock at that. Why wouldn't any man want it? And then Henri, of course, hears this and he offers to take her picture while making sleazy, suggestive comments. I mean, suggestive is, you know, like too forgiving of it.
Oh, that's being very generous.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is blatant suggestions.
Right.
She talks about how all her pictures come up bad, overexposed. She looks white as a ghost. He's like, I can put some roses in your cheeks and then we'll take some pictures.
Yeah, exactly. But I did love that moment. She's like, I've had bad luck with pictures. The photographer always overexposes the film and I come out looking white as a ghost, as if she thinks that's how she looks in pictures only.
Like everyone else, Lilith has a certain unrealization about herself. I mean, when he's taking the pictures later and he's doing all the different comments of like, do this, and she has
this. So good. Yeah, so she doesn't want anything like risque or sexy, and Carla advocates that. She's like, guys love sexy pictures of their babes. She mentions that her ex-husband Nick used to take sexy photos of her all the time until she smashed his camera and broke his nose. And Norm's like, you guys got into a fight? She says, no, I fell off the monkey bars. And after that line, she stares at Norm like she's daring him. Get that image and put like that image is lodged in your mind and it's not going anywhere.
Like, everyone, even Henri has a facial reaction like, what?
It's just like, so she kind of walks off kind of like almost like with her head cocked to the side. Like she's still staring at Norm as she's walking away and he's just shaking his head like, wow. It's like, Lilith tells Henri, she's like, she just wants something, you know, that Frasier can put in his office, a nice portrait. He's like, with just a hint of smoldering sensuality behind your eyes. She's like, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, of course.
And Henri sits her down in the chair to kind of in position for the picture. And Woody walks in, he's like, I thought you were taking my picture. And he's like, and I thought I ordered a soda.
You have a point.
Yeah. And then, as you were saying, yeah, this is where Henri just starts snapping pics, rapid fire, like giving her the direction. Like, okay, serious, happy, seductive, angry, playful. And she's not doing anything, not changing at all.
No, there's no change. And then he asks her, be honest, you've modeled professionally, haven't you?
Yeah.
And she's just like, you can see at that point, that's actually when there's a little bit of a facial change. She's like, almost like an aw shucks look on her face. Like, no, I have not.
So he says, like, let's get her back to the studio. And she says, tread in. And he's acting like he doesn't understand the way she pronounced it. And she has to repeat it. And he's like, oh, tread bien. And he's like, I see, I'll have to teach you the French tongue. He's like, oh, boy. Like, actually, where does this end up going between them?
It's better not to think about it.
Yeah.
Although we do know what happens to Fraser and Lilith. So.
Right. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Rebecca comes in that she actually met with Vera. She likes her a lot. They got had a good job and she got Vera a job. And Norm was like, where? And she's like, she helped her with her resume. Norm was like, where is she working? And she prepped her for the interview. Where is she working? She even loaned her lucky scarf. Rebecca, where is she working? And you just hear Vera upstairs calling down the stairs at her. You just hear her voice. And she is the new hat check girl at Melville's.
And he just freaks. There's a scream and a run.
He screams and bloody murder and like runs for the door. But just before we cut away, the door opens and Norm barrels into Fraser, who has come back with a new dozen balloons. And he probably drops them when Norm runs into him. And there go the balloons again.
I'll be right back. I'll be back. It's like Fraser's Eeyore this episode.
Yeah. Oh, later on. Sam comes out of the back room and Norm is just sitting there at the bar. And Sam tells him that they need his help because they're in the middle of a darts tournament. And Norm is just simmering, or the Norm version of that, just kind of like simmering. He's just like, she's up there.
I can hear her walking. She's going to the coffee. And now she's walking back. Click, 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 click.
He's like, wait, they might be moving a piano. No, it's her.
Moving piano.
And then Fraser comes back for the third time, and this time he actually gets the balloons inside the bar. And they're like, oh, that's great. And he's really excited. Sam sends the, and he's like, yeah, everybody is back in the back room. So Fraser carries the balloons back there. And of course, we know where this is going, but Sam warns him. And he's like, oh, by the way, be careful. There's a dart tournament back there. And you just hear rapid fire pop, 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 as the dozen balloons.
Which you know was intentional.
Yeah. And you just, Fraser just walks back, just won't even dignify it, just walks back right past Sam and Norm, past the bar. He's headed out to get more balloons again. And as he's going, he's just like, I hate this bar.
He went from the highs to the lows. That's Cheers, dragging everyone down to that level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rebecca comes back down again. She's sharing jokes that she learned from Vera, jokes about Norm. She reveals that Norm's first name is actually Hillary, which, according to IMDb trivia, is an in-joke that's the name of George Wendt's daughter, or child, I guess. I'm assuming yes. It was a daughter, but it could be boy or girl. It just says child named Hillary that he has with the actress Bernadette Burkett, who does the voice of Vera in this episode, Vera. Even though she's not credited. But we've seen her before. She was in an episode where she dated or where she slow danced with Cliff in season 3, maybe season 2.
Hmm.
It was a Halloween party. And yeah, she had a thing with Cliff that episode. It was either season 2 or season 3. And then in the Thanksgiving Orphans episode, she walks in at the very end, but we don't see her face because she gets up high in the face.
High in the face. That I remember.
The guys come in just to kind of make fun of Norm for his first name being Hillary. And he's like, Hillary was my grandfather's name. And he once killed a man who laughed at him. Like he got up and he just up and killed some guy for making fun of him. It's like, well, no, he was a surgeon and kind of botched an operation. Fraser comes back yet again sometime later. And he's like, they were out of balloons, but he ran into a colleague. So he got a bunch of those rubber surgical
plastic
gloves.
Doctor gloves.
Surgical gloves. And they're all inflated. And Carla says, if you can't have fun with 4 dozen rubber inflated hands, you're just not trying. So,
and I'm sure she has before.
That was a good bit from Carla. I liked that one.
Yeah.
Lilith greets Fraser, and she said, you know, she wanted to do something adventurous for his birthday present. And she's like, you know, what better than a photograph of her spread languidly on a bearskin rug? So she reveals the picture. She got it blown up like a poster. But when she spreads that, it's still her wearing her formal, like, business professional attire.
Yes, on the rug. And he's like, that is definitely a bearskin rug. And that is definitely you.
Yeah. And then she goes, Fraser, you're forgetting what a cheeky monkey. I can be. Like, I never would have expected that in Lilith's.
That term.
Yeah. So she says that the picture is a gag gift. She's got other pictures for him, and she just has like the little bit, they're not the negatives, but the actual like blown up Polaroids. And she's showing him, and he's like, well, you're hardly wearing anything. And he's like flipping through them and gets to the real sexy, raunchy ones. And he's like, oh, baby. And she's like, she says, you know, happy birthday. Do you want to look at them at home? And he's like, oh, yeah. And he kind of runs off right past. And then he gets to the door. He's like, you can come too.
And she gets that little look of excitement, like, ooh wee. By the way, when you're looking at the pictures, and I saw it on IMDb afterwards too, but if you're looking closely at the back of the pictures, you can see they're just headshots of her.
Oh, yeah. But the real important thing about this entire subplot was that Fraser never actually had a birthday party. They never did.
They sort of partied. They had their dart tournament, but, you know, he wasn't involved.
Across the bar, Norm says it's time for him to leave. And it's like, it's only 9:30. And he's like, that's all right. And they're like, do you need a ride? He's like, no, it doesn't matter. I didn't even have any beers, which is not true because I'm jumping ahead to his tab. Because there were so many time jumps in this episode, so many advancements, I'm actually giving him credit for 5 beers this time around.
Well, that's close to none in one day.
Yeah.
If he's getting around, 11, 12 o'clock, probably? Yeah.
For him, yeah.
You know, between then and 9:30, yeah. He probably forgot about those by that point.
Norm can't stay at Cheers if Vera's going to be that close to him. He'll have to find a new place. And they're trying to talk him out of it, and it's just not happening. He's too mopey. So he goes to the door, and he starts to walk out, and he screams again because Vera is on the stairs. And at first he just kind of, like, freaks from it. And then he realizes that she's upset. She's on the stairs and she's crying, and we don't really get a good look at her. We only kind of hear this, and he kind of walks up on the stairwell leading out, and he kind of sits with her to comfort her. And while this is going on, John comes down the stairs, and John is now mad at Rebecca for getting Vera hired in the first place. And he's like, he had to fire her. And then Norm storms in to confront John. John's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm her husband. And he's like, oh, yes. I didn't recognize you without a bar growing out of your chest.
Yes. He's like, why did you fire her? She's a conscientious worker. It's like, yeah, well, how conscientious can you be when you spend your entire day on your hands and knees looking through a knothole in the wall, in the ceiling, which sends Norm off.
He's like, I knew it. And he's like looking up at the ceiling. He's like, there it is. There's the hole. She was watching him the whole time. He was right. He's feeling vindicated. So John insults her. He's like, you know, like my condolences if you have to be married to that woman or something to that effect. And Norm grabs John by the back as John is walking away. He grabs him by the back of his little like cardigan and like lifts him up. And he demands an apology for offending his wife. And he's like, if you don't, I'll turn you into a pretzel. And John's like, well, that's a shape I'm sure you're familiar with.
But Norm's like, no, I am serious. I will hit you.
Yeah. And John apologizes. He's like, all right. I apologize. I'm sorry. And he's like, all right. Now get back up to your restaurant before I pound you into a beer nut. And John is like, please. I thank you. He's like, thank you. I'm tiring of the theme. And there's a great little moment as Norm kind of settles back into his part of the bar. As John is leaving, the actor, King Curtis, he does a thing where he gets to the stairs leading up and he wipes his feet on the mat at the bottom of the stairs before going up. And I'm like, that is brilliant. For one thing, it's a bit of continuity for the characters in that arc. But like, again, like that's so like the character. If he has to step foot in Cheers, he just believes it's dirty and grimy. And I'm like, yeah, he would have to wipe his feet before he returned to his place of business.
And also makes me wonder, does he have a mat up top? Is this the mat on the bottom that Sam was going to get? Because he was like, hey, this is good. When he tried to destroy it, he's like, this is a good mat. I should get one.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's Sam's mat. That's why he's wiping his feet. He's not wiping his feet on his. He's going to wipe it on Sam's.
That would make more sense, yeah.
Because that would be a John Allen Hill thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You deal with my dirt. Yeah. I don't want to deal with my dirt. You deal with it. Yeah. This is the dirt from your bar.
Everyone now has seen Norm stick up for Vera, and he's like, yeah, you know, he has to admit it. He loves her. He doesn't know what he would do without her. And Rebecca's like, you know, she's still sitting on the stairwell crying. And Norm's like, no, I know. She'll go away after a while.
It's like, there she goes.
He just kind of looks her out the window or something. You just see her standing up and walking away. He's like, see, there she goes. Yeah. He's like, you gotta love her. Yeah. Just love that. No effort to go after her. It's like, she's still sitting there crying. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. She'll leave.
It's fine. She's used to it. I mean, come on. One of her jokes was that you can't get him to change his light bulb. You can't even get him to come home on Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The joke.
But one thing I noticed about this episode, there's some fun with extras. So when Frasier comes in with the time he comes in with the gloves, there is this woman as extra sitting at the bar, and the camera first is like the back, like almost like kind of like the camera's almost like positioned where Norm normally sits, or on that side of the bar facing out the front, and she's facing that part. And then when the camera jumps to the other side, she's facing the other way. No reaction or anything. She does languidly clap when everyone else claps when he brings in the gloves, but it's almost like this extra is like, I'm going to make sure my face is in here. And on the other, but she doesn't really seem to care. But on the other end of that, when Norm goes to threaten John Hill, there are two extras behind him having a conversation. I'm sure it's like, just do your thing. But it's like, really, you're like, even if I don't know the people, if I'm at a bar and all of a sudden it looks like there's a fight like 5 feet from me, I'm going to be paying attention.
Yeah, you take interest. Yeah.
And they were like not even caring. And it's like, look, if you don't know this place, you just popped in and there's a fight happening in front of you, you're going to pay attention. And if you go to this bar enough, that's norm.
Right, right.
You're paying attention either way. And the fact that they were like almost intentionally trying to not pay attention, it's like, we're just extras. We're just here to, yeah. We have to sit here in the back and make it look like there's other people in the bar. So I was amused by that.
Yeah. Again, Vera voiced and what little we get of her physical was by Bernadette Burkett, even though she's not credited. Henri, again, played by Anthony Sestaro.
So in college, which I went to after Cheers ended, because I'm old, but I'm not that old. there was this girl that I'm still friends with, Tina. Tina was like one of those girls that like everyone loves. And anyone would have been like, if I can get with her, that's good. We all loved her. And she ended up dating another friend of ours and is married to him. In fact, he was just staying over our house the other day. But because me and her were very close, I was teasing him. And I kept doing, because his last name is Rippy. So I would tell him, Rippy, I'm going to steal your girlfriend. And then, of course, I did promise him I would never try and steal his fiance. So I stopped it once they were engaged. But I did only promise his fiance. So at their wedding, I did tell him at one point, Rippy, I'm going to steal your wife.
Oh, fantastic. I love it.
And of course, he knew exactly what I was doing. But like,
yeah,
he was so much bigger than we realized, he actually was.
Awesome. Yeah. For Norm's tab, as I mentioned, he had 5 beers, which brings him up to 912 for the series so far. For the employee of the week, I think I'm going to stick with Norm because of kind of like the emotion he shows at the end and standing up for Veer. But I mean, Henri was good in his ultra brief part. Lilith was great. John was great.
Since you're going with Norm, which is also one of my intentions too, I will give it to Henri.
All right.
For his perfect, like subtle, almost subtle innuendos, but just enough to make everyone go, like when he's telling Lilith, like, do you want to wear an evening gown or a negligee or my strong metal hands?
One of my favorite of his lines is like when Woody comes in, like, I thought you came here to take my picture. He's like, and I thought I ordered a soda. It's like, even though he's like, get me a soda and pay for it. Is the original intention of ordering it was just to demean Woody and put him down again and embarrass him a little bit more. And in that moment, he kind of feels righteous. he's like, hey, I ordered something from you. You're like, I'll do the service of taking your picture when you do me the service of serving me my drink. Like,
yeah, and paying for it.
My runner up was again when Henri's just hello fellows and the guy's big reaction to that and everything we've been again like I said that lives so large in my memory because my dad liked that line so much. But for my actual home run, I think my favorite bit is really just it's the climax, it's the finale, it's like the final gag when Rebecca's like, she's still out there waiting for you, and he's like, no, she'll go away, don't worry about it. She'll go away after a while.
See, there she goes.
Yeah.
I had two runners up I was thinking about. There's Carly twisting Cliff's neck.
Yes.
It's like, you do that for sore throats? No. And there was the whole little bit with Woody and Lilith about why he's paying Henri. It's like, well, he's going to borrow the money anyway. This way, I don't have to worry about him paying me back. Good thinking. But the actual home run is the whole bit with Frasier getting the pictures from Lilith.
Whole
her opening up, going, yep, that's a bearskin rug. We better warn the people from Fully Clove Woman's Monthly. They might try and take these pictures, to him looking at the pictures and just all going to the complete opposite direction of from boredom to I'm mama.
Yeah.
And then the running away and then, oh, you can come too.
Oh, so good. That was good. Oh, Al, thank you very much for coming back on Cheerscast again. Where else can our listeners find you?
Well, if you want to find me, like you mentioned before, I do have my show, Resurrections and Adam Warlock and Thanos Podcast, which is all about the Marvel characters, Adam Warlock and Thanos. It's right in the name. And also on that same feed, I do have a second side show I'm doing called That Giffen Show, where I'm talking about the work of comic creator Keith Giffen. Just type in Adam Warlock or Thanos in whatever search, you know, podcast search you use, and you'll find them on there. And the Giffen shows are fully labeled on there. So if you just want that, you can just download those too.
Fantastic. That sounds good. I'll have to check that one out too. Thanks as always. And thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
A good man, you have my sympathy. To be married to her must be quite an ordeal.
Hey, take that back.
What?
Take that back. You're talking about the woman I love. I want you to take that back before I turn you into a pretzel.
Well, that's a shape I'm sure you're familiar with.
I am not kidding.
All right. I take it back. I apologize.
All right. Now just go on back upstairs before I pound you into a beer nut.
Well, thank you. I'm tiring of the theme.